Welcome to Bumbershoot, where we cover life's chaos with humor and heart. Charity Presti Filippo here, along with Tracy and Rhonda. Say hello.
Hi.
Hello.
We're getting a little less shy each week, you guys. You're doing great. They are a little intimidated by the microphones, but we're going to break them of that probably in the next couple weeks. As soon as I get the other one, another microphone, and they have both in their faces, they'll get over it pretty quick. A little shout out to Poggioliano Wine and Olive Oil. Check out Poggioliano.com. They are our sponsors for our wine of the week. So thank you. All right. This week, we are covering some more little chaos with humor and heart. And this week is about my move to Temecula, California, USA. So, yes, I moved to Temecula in 1981. It was Christmas vacation of 1981. Or it was 80, we cannot remember, but I was in second grade. It was Christmas vacation of second grade. So if I was a great mathematician, I could probably figure it out. Between 80 and 81, Christmas vacation, that's when we moved to Temecula. And that is when they literally had a bumper sticker that said, "Where the hell is Temecula?" And I remember we weren't allowed to say hell when we were little, so we would say, "Where the beep is Temecula?" It was back when Temecula was like a drive-through town, for people that lived in the city. But for people that lived here, like the original Pechanga Indians and the ranchers that lived out here as well, it was home. And we moved from Orange County, actually Irvine, out here. Want to know why? Because my dad, you know, that jack of all trades or master of all trades, he bought a lumber yard in Wildomar. So Wildomar is two cities up from Temecula off the 15 freeway. I'll say north, depending on where you're coming from. It's a very small town. It actually still is pretty much a small town today. But dad bought a lumber yard. Don't really know the story. You'll have to listen to his podcast if he ever does one on why he actually thought that was a great idea. But it ended up being a great idea because we are where we are today because of it. So anyway, I do know that he knew the owner of the feed store next door to the property that he bought and opened a lumber yard. This was back in the day when there was no Home Depots or Lowe's. Back then it was mom and pop bone shops for your home needs, out here it was a lot of ranches. So, he ended up buying he kind of was his business partner. I think the guy that owned the feed store next door got him up and going, but dad ended up taking over the whole place and it was called West Valley Feed Fence and Building Supplies. So, that's what brought us out here. And I remember my mom not being real crazy about it, to move out of Irvine into this podunk town. It had one stop sign from what I remember, and no stoplights. There were no grocery stores. We used to shop at Old Town Temecula Market. Yep, it was just a little, like a mini market. Not grocery store, but market. And that's where we shopped. We would travel to Escondido or I don't think we really went north, but I think we usually went south to go to bigger places like a grocery store. But it was shortly after that they opened. And I don't remember whether there was Safeway and Stater Brothers were the first grocery stores that came to town. But anyways, going back to like the one stop sign, literally, it was farm ranches, old town. I mean, it wasn't dirt roads and covered wagons, guys. Don't go crazy. But where the mall stands today was dairy farms, and that it was huge out here, dairy farms. And they still are like in the Hemet area, but that was big out here. And at the time when I moved here, like I said, it was Christmas vacation of second grade, and there was one elementary school. Outside of the private schools, there was, I think, a couple private schools, Linfield being one of them, that had They probably had 80 kids from kindergarten all the way to senior year. But yeah, they had Temecula Elementary School, and then they added a middle school, so they made our school Vail Elementary and then Temecula Middle School. So those are still around today. The Vail Elementary School is where I went to Vail, and then Temecula Middle is now at a different location. But I was the new kid on the block, and it was pretty exciting to come to this little town because it was like new blood. Was fresh new blood. So I feel like when I got to school, the boys were crazy about it and the girls were not. The new girl in town. But at the time it was funny because my mom put me in acting. And so kind of basically when I moved to Temecula, I was also doing commercials and television shows, not principal parts. I was not a child celebrity, but I did do some acting. So that got around campus pretty quick. And so I think that was part of the big deal early on. But yeah, I remember in not in second grade, but in third grade, there was these three boys that had crushes on me. And Christmas of that year, so it was a year later, they each bought me gifts, which is so cute for like that age to do. I'll never forget. You know who you are if you ever hear. I got the roll-on cologne. Roll-on cologne. Yep, little stick. I got a gold-dipped leaf necklace. And to be honest, I can't remember the other thing. I'm sorry. But yeah, it was really sweet. And those boys are, I'm still friends with all of them today. I don't see a couple of them. Well, actually, I don't see any of them regularly, but we are in touch like through social media and stuff. They ended up being really good friends. And then I did meet my best friend back then, Tammy, and we are still friends today. Actually, I feel like through social media, that's the great thing. If you want to be friends with your classmates, that you get to keep up on their lives and stuff. But Tammy and I she actually worked with me in my nonprofit for a little bit, a few years ago. And we, our moms still keep in touch and stuff. So it was great to meet someone right away and make a good connection. She was a really good friend to me. And then something that stands out in elementary school, well, a few things do, but I think it was third grade. My dad took us on a trip to Utah because he got entangled in the pyramid schemes back in the day. That's a whole nother podcast for dad if he ever does one. I'll be saying that throughout all of this. Dad, another thing, but this was when Urban Cowboy came out, and we loved Urban Cowboy. And so when we were in Utah, dad was making some money. This little mid game, and he bought us all Western clothes, and so we were so into it. Well, you know how you do what's it called? Show and tell
Yeah, show and
in
tell.
elementary school. So I decided I came back with my Western outfit. I wanted to wear it and sing "Looking for Love" to my class.
I can picture that.
Yeah, I mean, to know me is to know me. I'm not kidding. I've never changed. Actually, I probably wouldn't do that today. But I didn't even have music to sing along with. And I'm not a singer. Let's note that. I'm not a singer. I love to sing, but that's not one of the biggest blessings that God gave me. So, yep, I sang in front of my whole class very confidently, and it was a big deal. I loved it. That's when I probably should have taken singing lessons and really pursued that because
So good. You're so brave.
I love it. So, but I never did. I don't like lessons, so I never did. My mom tried to give me singing lessons, not herself, but she tried to offer them to me. I just don't like lessons. She tried piano too. That was another thing I just couldn't do. But I love music, and so it's silly. I wish I knew then what I know now, and would have dedicated time and energy into what I potentially ended up loving. Another, I guess, story I'll say that my mom likes to tell, but it does give you a little insight to who I am and how I've always been. In fifth grade, we would win popcorn parties. You know, you'd earn it for, I don't even remember why, but you probably get so many points towards something and then you earn a popcorn party. So I won a popcorn party and I had all my closest friends that first popcorn party. But then later in the year, I won another one. So to be honest, I don't totally remember this, but my mom tells the story a lot that I invited all the kids that never got invited to popcorn parties to my second popcorn party.
This is why I love you.
So I'm happy that I did that. I just wish I could remember the experience because that's pretty special. And like I said, you know, I've told you that my mom's really like instilled a lot of who I am, and my mom and dad, good people. And so I just feel like that's, you know, my mom always taught me about like God's love and how to love on others. So I think that's where that was coming from. So anyways, that was pretty special. And then another thing that was cool that happened in that, I think it was fourth grade, was that with my acting, I don't want to say career, it was no career, but my acting phase, I guess you'll say, I landed a role that sounds so much bigger than it is. I got a job being the little nun on Airplane 2.
What?
Yeah. So in the beginning of the movie, there is, it's actually still while the credits are being shown in the beginning, there's two nuns that walk out, it's a nun and a priest. That's what it is. The nun and the priest walk out and then they kind of separate. And then the little nun and priest, as if we're their kids, come walking out. And if you know, Catholic, like the priests don't have that. And so I look up at my mom, nun, and she kind of like fixes my little headpiece thing. Yeah, so I actually just posted that video. My cousin sent me a clip of it, and I posted it on TikTok, I think, in social media.
I knew about it.
Yeah.
It's cute.
So because this was such a small town, there was a movie theater. It was a two-screen movie theater. It was called Winchester Theater. And my dad takes you have like when you're in acting, you have your headshot paper. I don't know what you call it anymore. I can't even think. Well, it's just a headshot, like where we used to send them to all of the agents and try to, when you, or not agents, like if your agent wanted you to apply for a job, they would send them your headshot back in the day. You know, there was no digital transferring of anything. So anyway, my dad takes that headshot down to the local theater, which you know my dad too, and he's never changed either.
So cute.
Biggest fan. Takes it down to the theater, the owner of the theater, and says, my daughter's in this production. So they put me in the marquee where the Airplane 2 poster is, and they put my headshot down in the corner. It says, starring Temecula actress, Charity Kamel.
That's so great. Yeah.
So it really shows you how small our town really was. Yeah. Isn't that funny, though?
Yeah.
It's very funny. Yeah. So in my acting, I did TJ Hooker, Matt Houston, Simon and Simon. I did a McDonald's commercial. I did The New I Dream of Jeannie. Still the Beaver. I can't remember, but those are kind of like the ones that stand out.
Can we get access to any of these? I need to see some of these.
I have pictures of them. I'll have to look up, like, you know, with Matt Houston, that was like a show, and William Shatner T.J. Hooker. Sorry, Matt Houston was totally different. T.J. Hooker was William Shatner, who passed away, I think, kind of recently, in the last year or so. They picked me out of the kids that were playing on the school playground to play his partner that had been killed in the line of duty's daughter. So he was visiting the school campus that my quote unquote mom taught at and was asking about Sue. And then I see him and go running up and he picks me up and twirls me around. And he was just the sweetest man. They were all so sweet. Like on the airplane too, Sonny Bono was on it.
Yeah.
And he used to, or he used to, he was so, I think he crushed on my mom. I don't blame him, but he was sticking around us a lot. And he was messing with me, like would squirt water in my face and like do different things. And there was a scene that I don't even know if it made it into it. I can't remember, but where you're like waiting in line at the ticket counter. So I was waiting with my fake mom at the ticket counter and Sonny Bono was at the ticket counter at the same time. So that's really where he like was messing with me the most, but very sweet. So yeah, I met a few celebrities through all the different shows. They were always very nice. Connie Selica, I met her. She was really sweet. I mean, if you're this generation, 20 and under, you have no clue who we're talking about. But yeah, that was a fun time in my life. But I stopped doing it because Temecula to LA is really far. And I just didn't have the passion to go all the way out there and then not get the job so many times that it didn't last too long. I probably did it from second grade to about fifth or sixth grade. And then I tried again later in life and same thing. I didn't want to live closer and it's a lot. It takes a lot of time and energy. So those actors and actresses, give them kudos because you get way more no's than you get yeses. Anyway, do you guys have any questions so far?
I think we need to get together and watch all these.
Well, I'm sure they're archived somewhere, but I wouldn't even know like what episode or, you know, I don't know if I could figure it out.
Let's Google your maiden name.
See what they're not going to have me in the credits, that's for sure.
I was going to ask you who's the most famous person you worked with before you started saying some of them, but probably William Shatner then, or...
Sonny Bono, William Shatner. I'm trying to think. I mean, I can't remember now. I'm totally drawn blank. I'll have to go through pictures and maybe we can revisit it. But I mean, I remember Connie Selica being a big deal back then too, because I think, wasn't she on like.
I remember her name. I can't remember what she was.
Greatest American Hero, maybe? Or I don't know. The McDonald's commercial had somebody big in it, and I can't remember. That was like Little House on the Prairie theme.
Love that show. You don't get any like, what's it called when you get little bits of money if something replays?
Or residuals?
Residuals. No. None of that's playing anymore.
No, because like going from, like I never had any speaking parts, like where I was the principal actor. Yeah. That's where you get them. Yeah, nope. None of that. And then later, like when I tried later in life as an adult, like in my 20s, I got like an eye contact commercial. I got something else small, but I just, I didn't have the, that drive, passion, heart, what it takes. So, I mean, I don't know that I have it now because you have to sacrifice so much, you know, like I'm good. To dream of being a Hollywood celebrity, and today no diss on the Hollywood celebrities. I feel like seeing how they don't get to live a normal life is where I'm grateful I didn't do that, because that's really tough. And now with social media, you're target and picked on and talked about, and it's just like I don't have skin for that.
No, I really don't. Privacy,
people to like, and if you don't, just ignore me. So another thing that was really special to me in this period of life was my grandma and grandpa, my dad's parents. They lived in Rhode Island, and they used to come out and stay the winters. Oh, sorry, I'm tapping. Sorry, that's me tapping. These microphones are really sensitive. But yeah, they used to come and stay the winters with us, which was really special for me because they lived so far away. And they're my Italian grandparents. And so my grandma would cook for us. And my papa would drive us, we call him papa, he would drive us to school and pick us up. And one of his favorite places to go every single morning was the Swingin' Cafe. He used to sit at the counter. Yeah, today Dean Norris from Breaking Bad owns it. But back in the day, it was actually Alyssa Raton's family and Randy, parents. They owned it. I think they were three generations of ownership up there. And so Swingin' has a special place in my heart just because it makes me think of my papa. But yeah, he was a very... he was a very strong role in our lives. And he used to mess with us. He'd sit and tap. Can I do it now? Is it too loud? And he would do this, and he loved horses. So for him, that was like the reminder. He reminded him of the horses running. And then you'd be walking by and he'd go, hey, 9, 10, 11, 12. You'd stop and look. And then he messed with us in the driest way. It's not like he would laugh, crack up. Like, he would just, like, be really serious and mess with us.
It was really special.
This is your dad's dad, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And my grandma taught us, like, 5 Italian words. She learned when, I mean, she moved to the States, like I said, in the last episode when she was 6. So her Italian was very elementary school. But that's when I learned my first 5 words. I don't know that it really totally helped me later in life, but at least I had some kind of familiarity.
What were they?
They were buongiorno, because in the morning she'd wake us up in the morning and say buongiorno. And then pane was bread, and amore was love. And 5 words. What were the other two? Oh, grazie. And buonanotte when she put us to sleep.
Love that.
Yeah, so that was special. I was very proud to know those 5 words of Italian. So, yeah. Oh, another thing. I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to. We have little notes here, guys. We're just very transparent and candid here. So, our little notes. When I was young, me and my sisters, so I grew up with 3 sisters. We would perform for our family. But we didn't just do the sister. We also would recruit friends sometimes, too. So my mom, like, loved to do productions, and we loved to be in them. So she, you remember the video cameras that sat on your shoulder that were, like, the size of a boombox?
Yep. Yes.
She would film us. Well, she had a tripod. At least she didn't have to hold it on her shoulder, but... She would film us. We did Peter Pan, and my dad rigged a horse, you know, the harnesses that would go around a horse, like when they would pull carts and stuff. It's a big like leather harness. Well, he had one, who knows why. And he rigged that with rope into the trees. So when I was Peter Pan and I was supposed to fly, I hung in the harness and he pulled it up.
Awesome.
Peter Pan, I love it. Yes. And then we had, and that's when we had a couple friends in there that I still know today and see today. And then we also did, well, Nicole, my sister Nicole and I did that song, Don't Go Breaking My Heart. We did a music video to it. We also did it to Uptown Girl. This is back when music videos weren't. They weren't like, well, actually they kind of like went away. Like they came and then they went away. But this is like right when they were coming out.
They were actual videos.
And
on MTV.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we did that, and we did, what other did we do? Peter Pan, and then another. Oh, Cinderella. And my mom was the bippity boppity boo lady with a tutu on her head. Like, we didn't buy anything for it. We just used everything we had at the house for everything. But those are such great memories, you know? You're like, I mean, we love doing it. But I think even when your kids don't love it, to get them to do things that they, you know, you need to push them outside of their comfort zone and get them to do things that they're not totally comfortable with. It's a memory that lasts a lifetime. And it also created a family bond, you know, doing that together. So those are really like special to me. And then we would also, we didn't record these, but at Christmas time every year, me and my sisters would do a like a play, whether it was, you know, Mary and Joseph, the nativity play, or, you know, some kind of fun Christmas Santa thing. I have a funny story about this. So also my cousins lived here, and they're younger than us by a few years, like 5 and 6 years. Back in the day, their mom, we did for a little bit as well, which I will share that too. That's kind of crazy. But we used to take care of mentally disabled kids. My aunt and uncle did at the time. They remember, or maybe we had a couple kids, but they went home with their families. But my aunt and uncle had this gal, Joanne, that didn't go home to her family. And so she spent Christmas with us. She was in a wheelchair. I don't know what her condition was, but she definitely physically was also like hadn't developed normally, maybe cerebral palsy or something. But I know that her limbs were kind of shorter. And then she was blind. She was the cutest thing ever. We just loved Joanne so much. Well, there was this Christmas that we did a play, and we were doing like reading out of like the Christmas story or something. So everybody was taking a turn, all the kids. So we get to, so we're passing. Well, Joanne's sitting between like one of us and another one of us. So she had her, she was borrowing, I think my glasses, because she was being Mrs. Claus, but she's blind,
yeah.
But she was wearing my glasses. So she, the book passes past her and gets to me. Well, I can't read it. So I take my glasses off her and she goes, and then I can't see. And we thought it was hilarious. It was so funny. It was just so sincere that like, you just took my glasses and now I can't see. But I'll tell you, those kids really filled our cups. They were very special to our families. Yeah, we had a little boy, which was the first one that we had in our home, and he was so cute. And we would dress him up super fashionably and take him. It was when I was actually a freshman in high school when we had him. And my mom would bring him to the games, and all the girls just loved him. He was nonverbal, but he would get really excited during the games. And I feel like along the way, like that there's just always been.
That's so.
I will say other people with life, like with challenges, physical or mental challenges, have inspired me all along the way. That's what I'm saying.
Same.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I did not know that. Well, yeah. There's a lot. That's really cool.
I didn't know that either, but it makes sense.
Yeah, I was very, we also had a very scary episode with one of the gals. It's not her fault, but this is something that's very, it's crazy. It was when I was in high school, but it was just my mom and me and my best friend at the time at the house. And this gal, she was a teenager, or actually she might've been a young adult even. Yeah, because she was going to a work program. Well, she would go home to her family every other weekend. And we didn't know at the time, but her mom would let her watch horror films, like icky, scary horror things. And this gal, to say she was the sweetest thing, quiet, shy, always polite, did everything mom ever asked her to do, just amazing. But this just goes to show, like, a vulnerable brain can really be affected. And we were home. I witnessed it with my own eyes. All of a sudden, I hear my mom and her in the kitchen, but it's not her. It doesn't sound like her. And I'm wondering who's in the kitchen with my mom. But I look from the living room and I see it's her. She is like possessed and like hanging at my mom. And my mom told me, don't come in here. And I looked and it was literally like she was possessed, because that wasn't her. And she was up to my mom, and my mom was like trying to stay calm, trying to like talk to her. She tells me, Charity, call 911, call 911. And I'm just sitting there praying, me and my girlfriend. And what I didn't see, because it was just like an opening into the kitchen, so I couldn't see everything, but my mom ended up getting her into her room off the kitchen. And my mom said, like, she got into bed, but she was still, like, crying. I don't know how you, yeah. how you say that. It's not a growl, but it's not a, it's, like, like,
yeah. hissing.
Yes, it's, like, hissing, snarling, yeah, like that. And my mom said, like, she was reaching for her, but it was, like, this protection was around my mom that she didn't get to her, nor did she, like, she stayed where she was. But, and then the police got there and came in at the very end and saw her and then like saw it happen. And then they started talking and it was like gone.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like it's something you see in the movies yeah. and you might hear about, but like it literally happened in our house and they had to take her away. And it's sad because I don't know like where, but my mom found out after that. When they did investigating and figuring out what the background was, that she would watch those horror evil films when she would go home. So it was like her little vulnerable brain
yeah.
started getting like programmed and
so sad.
So I know, isn't that sad? Yes. That's not really humor, but with our humor and heart, but no, I know, but it was something that I witnessed that you like, it's just one of those things that you just never know what people have seen and witnessed.
And how old were you when this
was? I think I was in high school, so I don't know, probably like 16.
Well, I'm sure at any age that would be just mortifying to see.
It was. Well, and it was scary, but also it was heartbreaking because I saw the police walking her out and she was her again.
Yeah.
And that's just crazy. Like it's hard to comprehend how and why those things, but yeah. It was real. I can tell you that. It was real. So, yeah. So anyways, would you guys have any questions about like Temecula back in the day or elementary school?
Actually, I do have a question.
Okay.
Where was the first stop sign in Temecula?
I believe it was at Rancho and Yanez, if I remember correctly, because that was the only off ramp into Temecula was off the freeway. It was Rancho. Yeah. And I don't think that, I don't totally remember, but I can tell you, I think, I don't know if I said it in the last episode, but we used to walk, we lived up off of Rancho Vista, if you know the area, you know where Rancho Vista is, and it's above Vail Elementary School, actually. It was the first, it was called Hill 27, it was the, like the first housing tract in Temecula, and they had 27 homes on it at the time. There's more now, but when Brandy and I were in elementary school, we used to walk down Yanez Road from there down to Tower Plaza where like Gourmet Italia is today. We would walk as elementary school kids without our mom. And our mom, like, she's pretty protective. I mean, she wasn't helicoptery per se, but she was pretty protective. And
what was over there by, was there a school over by where Tower 20s?
The Tower Plaza, well, it had been Franklin and it was like a, kind of like an old CVS kind of where the pharmacy, there was a pharmacy. We went down because they had candy bins and you could get like candy for a penny or 5 cents or something and fill your bag. So we would walk down, get our candy and then walk back. And we may never see a car or maybe see like one car driving down to us. Where today it is like traffic backed up.
Yeah.
Like I would never, I wouldn't even walk down Yanez Road as an adult today.
No, I would
never mind walking with, you know, little kids walking.
Was Old Town Temecula, like the street, Old Town Front Street, was there anything there yet? Because I thought some of those buildings were pretty old, but.
Yeah. They, I think some of them are old and some of them were, are like replicas of old.
Yes.
It was super small. I mean, the bank was there.
Yeah.
1909 building was there, but it obviously wasn't a restaurant. It was actually, I'm not sure that might've even been later than that. But like I said, the Swing Inn, I remember it was just smaller. It was just like a couple blocks versus like a whole street.
And then, you know, like where Vail headquarters is right now.
Yeah.
That used to be something like a long time, like way older than
Well, us. We used to go to Rancho Fruit Market that's no longer in existence, but they had reopened it in Old Town next to the Swinging Cafe. Okay. The Fruit Market used to be out Winchester Road out there. I mean, obviously, there's way more streets than there are now. So where it is today is kind of a different place than where it was then. But yeah, there was barely anything. There was something else I was going to tell you guys about back in that time. Oh, shoot, I lost it.
Was there anything down Rancho, California that is still here today that you can remember?
Hmm.
Or was that all farmland?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was, so I was so little, I don't remember the years that things developed, but there was definitely nothing like right off Rancho except for ranches.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, some of the, like, there's some really old apartments there now, but I don't, they might, maybe by the time I got to middle school, I know there was apartments across the street.
The ones across the street from Target?
No, across from, I think it's Temecula Elementary again. Yeah. So, yeah. We have Temecula. If you don't know the area, Temecula Museum has a lot of history in it. I mean, it goes back way further than before I was here. But
yeah,
but there is some fun pictures in there. And a lot of the, like, the there's stores or places, restaurants have old pictures through the years. But Temecula is a really great little community. You know, in the beginning, my mom didn't like it, like being moved out to the boondocks in the middle of nowhere. But then it was like, wow, we really got plugged into like a church here and then got to know people and ended up loving it. And of course, as I grew up, there was such small class sizes that we all knew each other. We were all really close. And
I think that's so cool that you got to like watch like basically a city form while you were living in it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
We're not that old to be able to see that. That's so cool.
Yeah, it is definitely. That is a good point. It
really is. It's lucky.
Yeah, I know. It's bittersweet because back in the day, it was just so special.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, you know, when there's good and bad with everything always, but there's a lot of conveniences with the size it is today, but it's also kind of sad because you lose a lot of that small town feel. But I always say, like, we have a small town in a big city.
Yeah.
Because everybody really makes a point to know each other. I mean, even when you look at, like, the people that had developed this city, the people that are still involved in this city, I mean, a lot of them have been involved and a part of it since the beginning. And take a lot of pride in it. But it is hard to see new people move in and then not give it the same care and love that you have for it, you know?
There's a lot of tourism here too. So there's a lot of people that don't live here that are here, you know, a lot
on
weekends and whatnot, which, yeah.
Well, and that's a beautiful thing. I mean, especially
for
our industry. Restaurant owners, we'd love that. And I love it because when you have something great, you want to share it with people.
Yeah.
You want other people to love it as well, you know? So mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's just something that you have to take the good with the bad and the bad with the good. It's the way of life.
Yes.
Yeah. So anything else, guys?
How are we looking?
I have a couple other like thoughts about like different things from that age group, but I feel like so many things run into like as I get older. But I will say I had some really great friends from elementary school and I had some really great teachers too. A lot of the teachers lived in Fallbrook, which is really close to Temecula, you know, and one of them, her husband worked for Pringles. So I remember she used to bring us all Pringles all the time. That was a pretty cool thing. And then my sister's teacher lived next door to us. Back in the day, I remember Jack Klugman used to live in Temecula. He,
don't know.
Jack Klugman. Oh gosh, he was on a television star. He had his own show. I can't remember what it was called, but I remember when we saw him in the. It was like I saw a teacher in the grocery store, and that was a big deal to me. And my mom saw Jack Klugman in the grocery store, and that was a big deal to her. So that was pretty cool. Yeah, I think it was so funny. I'm not kidding that there was a bumper sticker that people had on their like trucks that said, "Where the hell is Temecula?" But now everybody knows where Temecula. I mean, I think a lot of people know where Temecula is now. The wine has made us so well known. The balloon, hot air balloons.
Yeah.
Like you said, tourism in general. Temecula is a really special place. If you've never been, you should look it up. We've got Pechanga Resort and Casino, which is the second largest, I want to say, hotel casino in the country. Second to Foxwoods, I think it is.
Wow.
In Connecticut, is it? I might be wrong, but that's what I believe. Yeah, and it's a fun place. They've got a... They're not paying me to say this. They've got a great pool and spa and a lot of events they host there.
Huge casino floor.
Rhonda knows a little bit about Pechanga, Fox.
It's an amazing place to visit. Good restaurants. I'll just say that.
Yeah, so it's really cool. A lot of the kids that I went to school with in elementary school, you know, they're Pechanga Indians. And so today they get the benefits of the resort and casino, and they deserve it. They're all really good people, and all the ones that I went to school with, they all have like careers and taught their children very well. It's a good thing. So we love Pechanga.
Go
yeah. So what else do we have here? We've got a little old town. We've got.
Obviously, we said wineries, but there's a lot of breweries.
Oh, yeah, breweries, too. We've got a lot of breweries. Yeah, so Temecula's come a long way, baby.
Great restaurants.
Yeah, really great restaurants. I might know somebody that has a couple restaurants here. I don't know why I'm saving it all.
I know.
Saving the goods. But, yeah, we do own restaurants. I'll talk all about them later. But, yeah, we do own restaurants out here in Temecula. We own Spungino Pizzeria, Gourmet Italia, and Bottega Italia in Old Town. So
amazing.
Yeah, one's on the way. Spungino's on the way out to wine country. Bottega's in Old Town, and Gourmet Italia's kind of on the...
In the middle.
In the heart, yeah. So we've spread our wings all over. Yeah. Spread our wings. Spread our
love.
Spread our love to all the areas.
Well, the scenery, too, here is
beautiful.
Gorgeous. So beautiful.
We have citrus. We got avocados.
Yeah. I think it's like a good place from like people from LA come to get out of like the big city. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have a lot of celebrities that come
yeah.
and stay here. Yeah. I don't think we're allowed to mention some names. I think we have to get approval.
Yeah.
I think that's how the podcast thing works. I don't think all the ones I mentioned from back in the day even care, but the new ones. Yeah. Met a couple that have come out to visit. I hope Dean doesn't mind. He owns Swingin'. I think he's fine. Dean's also a neighbor. So.
Business owner.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it's a really great place. So you guys look it up if you aren't familiar with Temecula or haven't been. Check it out. I encourage you to come stay. You only need a weekend, really. And then you'll want to come back. No matter where you are in the country or in the world, make sure it's a stop for you. Temecula, California. We're on the north border of San Diego County.
Yeah.
We'll say inland. We're the valley. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I think that's it for today. Next week, we will be talking about, like middle school and some of the stuff going on in there. But I think in this episode, what kind of things did you guys learn about? I mean, we didn't really, kind of more of a great informational.
Great stories, yeah.
Good storytelling.
But, you know, it always kind of goes back to, like, your upbringing and, you know, your kindness and where you get it from and that sort of
thing. How amazing your mom and dad were.
Yeah. So as we just kind of build the picture, you'll see all along the way that There were ups and there were downs. Yes. So yeah, so this is a wrap up for this week's episode. Thank you guys for listening, and thank you guys for being here.
Of course.
Yeah, don't forget you can reach out on bumbershootcharity@gmail.com. That's bumbershootcharity@gmail.com. And I still haven't looked up if there's a way through the podcasting that you can contact me, but I'm sure if there is, I will get notified of it through my registration of that. All right, you guys, like I like to say, but that's not all. We will see you next week for our next episode of Bumbershoot, covering life's chaos with humor and heart. All of a sudden, I have an accent again.